Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us here live tonight. The joys, many joys of live radio, huh, Tim?
You gotta love it.
Well, one of the many joys of live radio is when a guest stiffs you. You're live for an hour with no guest. Our second guest for the hour, Pete Haviland from Lone Star Spirits, will be with us for the second hour. Tim's going to keep trying our first guest, Mary Hayes Greco, for the first hour. She's just not answering the numbers she gave us, so... With that said, we'll cover a couple other things while Tim is trying to get those get her on the line. First off, I want to remind everybody that 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention is coming up July 20th and 21st, 2007, in Santa Paula, California. There are going to be a lot of great speakers. Chris Fleming, the psychic sensitive from the TV show Dead Famous on Biography Channel. Richard Sennett, who is an authority on ghosts. He's known as the Ghost Stalker. He's written many books on the ghosts of California, and he's appeared on many radio and television shows. He'll be there. You've got Derek Bartlett from, he formed Capers, C-A-I-P-R-S, in August 2001. And Derek's always been looking for answers. And he's going to be there to share his knowledge of the paranormal. Very intelligent man. I've had the chance to meet and talk to him a couple of times. Also, Tom Durant from Capers will be there and share some of his thoughts and ideas on the paranormal. I will be there, of course. It would be a chance to come on out and say hi to the Dave, get a chance to meet you, shake hands, say hi. I'll be also hosting a talk with Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns. Patrick Burns, of course, from the TV show Haunting Evidence on Court TV, which starts up next Wednesday, I believe it is. Not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. Patrick Burns and John Oliver and Carla Barron will be back with Haunting Evidence, but you can see Patrick Burns live at this event. Chad J. Saunders will be there. We've also got the Southern California Society for Paranormal Research will be there. You've got Guy Jackson, who's going to be out there. You've got Bill Murphy, who's a Los Angeles-based documentary producer. He focuses on paranormal research. He was born in New Orleans, and he is going to be there showing his movie, Ghost Town, which is amazing, and it's a follow-through on the paranormal activity that took place post-Katrina in Louisiana. And, of course, Linda Salvin will be there, too, and she's a psychic. So if you get a chance, please come on out and come out with us. You can go to the website at darknessradio.com and click on the 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention button, and it'll take you to the website and give you all the information there. Or you can go right to the website, woodwardpsychic.com. That's woodwardpsychic.com. Again, that's woodwardpsychic.com. And I hope that you'll join us. Also, I wanted to let you know we are getting very low on tickets for the Waverly event. And if you're not familiar, Darkness Events, besides doing our radio show, we do live events where we go to haunted locations with some celebrity paranormal investigators, and we'll go out there to check it out. You get to hear the speakers, talk to them, have a great time. At Waverly Hills, we have Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. You got Rosemary Ellen Guiley, the Princess of Paranormal herself. You got the Godfather of the Paranormal and demonologist John Zaffis and demonologist Adam Bly will be there. Chad Kalick will be there showing his documentary that he shot about a year ago at Waverly Hills called Terror Normal, and that's amazing footage. Really a cool story, so you're going to want to show up for that. There are only 100 people that are allowed to attend that event, so it's going to be our smallest event of the year. That means you get to investigate two nights at Waverly Hills Sanitarium, and it is a crazy, creepy place. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and Google Waverly Hills. Look at all the incredible footage that people have posted there. It's just amazing. I definitely recommend it. Also, we do have tickets on sale for the Queen Mary trip, where we're going to be going back. We had a great time out there, didn't we, Tim?
Absolutely.
We were out there in January this last year. Beautiful place. I was just out there a couple weeks ago to look at it again, saw some crazy stuff happen. So we're going to be back out there with Jay and Grant from Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, Rosemary, Lloyd Auerbach, Professor Paranormal, will be there. We also have a couple of celebrities in our midst. Tim, you were a fan of the X-Files TV show.
Yes.
Remember the lone gunmen who were helpers to Mulder and Scully on many cases. We've got Dean Haglund, who was Langley, the guy with the long blonde hair and the Buddy Holly glasses. He's going to be on hand with us at the Queen Mary, and he's going to be doing a live comedy improv show for us the two nights during the investigation. So one group will get to investigate. The other gets to enjoy a really cool comedy show with Dean Haglund. And then we have the very beautiful Kelly Maroney, who is an actress a lot of you might remember from a lot of the 80s movies like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Chopping Mall, and our favorite, Night of the Comet. And you know what, Tim? Not only is she going to be there, but she is going to do a midnight showing of Night of the Comet with a question and answer to follow and be there to autograph people's memorabilia.
Can we do it like Rocky Horror Picture Show, where a bunch of us acted out on stage?
Oh, of course.
That'd be great.
Yes, I get to be the headless zombie. I've already signed up for the role.
Nice.
But that's what's going on. For all the information on those events and more, I recommend you check out our website at darknessevents.com. Again, our website is www.darknessevents.com. For those of you that are just tuning in, the darkness does not beget the fact that we're evil and we're slaking the blood of virgins.
But we will for a fee.
Yes. Yeah. Or that could happen on another trip, you know, but this, not on the ones that we have booked right now. Darkness is just, again, the shortened version of our radio show, which is Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And hopefully we can help you and educate, enlighten, and entertain you all at the same time. We do have our guest on the phone. The lovely and talented Mary Hayes Greco has joined us. Mary, thanks for being with us this evening.
I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you. We're getting a little nervous there.
Well, here we are.
Yes, excellent. And for those of you that haven't had a chance to read over the website, Mary Hayes Greco, she's a respected writer. She's a spiritual teacher. She's a trainer here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. She's the director of the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training, which is something that's really interesting to me. I want to get into that a little bit more.
Good.
But you offer workshops in an effective method of forgiveness to helping professionals and to the general public. She's also on staff at the what is it? Hazelden Renewal Center. Okay, Renewal Center. Okay.
Right, the treatment center.
Sure, sure. And then if people want to contact you and get involved, they can contact your counseling office at 612-874-6622.
That's right.
And people can also check out your website at www.maryhayesgreco.com. And tonight we're going to actually be talking about developing your intuitive and healing gifts in a healthy way. And these are some really interesting topics. We're going to discuss the five types of intuition and the blocks to accurate intuition, because that's something that's driven me crazy for a while. and I'm glad that we finally have somebody on here that can help us get through those. Mary, give us a little bit of background on yourself to start off. Now, are you a psychic? Are you a medium? Are you...
Well, I guess these days I'm, professionally I work as a trainer and a writer and public speaker or counselor, but I did work professionally as a psychic for 12 years, between 1982 and 1994.
Okay.
And I value that time immensely because I learned really a lot of things about how things tick, you know, how the universe ticks and
sure.
how souls' purposes operate and so it was a very valuable time, but I choose not to do psychic readings anymore just because I'm very busy being a mom and I live in the inner city, and just it's a little hard on my nerves to do a lot of psychic readings. So
now the psychic readings you did, were you tapping into people's futures and figuring that out, or were you speaking to the dead relatives? I mean, we're just...
No, it's not like that. It wasn't really like spiritualism. It was really a lot about soul's purposes.
Okay.
And I had a method that I developed over 5 years' time of kind of self-taught, really, self-trained, and where a person would come, usually word of mouth, and they would have a couple of questions written down, and they would tell me the questions, and I would then really strive to empty my brain and empty my feelings and empty my judgments, just to really get very, very, very clean and open, and I would say a prayer and ask Spirit to, you know, tell me what this person needs to know right now for their highest good and their happiness. And then before long, I would start seeing pictures, start hearing a voice, start getting just kind of an overall sense of knowing or just a flash of an understanding about a story or, you know, just clues and information that I would then piece together. And
let me ask you about that then, Mary, because to me, a lot of psychic and mediumistic kind of readings, when especially when people are seeking an answer, you know, they're will I find love? Will I, you know, should I stay in this marriage? When you're kind of emptying yourself out of all of the, you know, preconceived notions and everything like that,
my own opinions, and
part of your course is on, you know, unblocking so that you can have your accurate intuition work.
Right.
How do we as a layman draw the line between accurate information and intuition and really good old down-home common sense? Because a lot of times it just seems to me it's common sense that a lot of these people are in need of, and I don't mean that rudely.
Yeah.
And you as a counselor, I'm sure, can see that. It's, you know, it's so many people want to make a decision, but they don't want to be responsible for it, so they want to go to somebody else to tell them to do it so then they can move on.
Yeah, that's true to some degree, but I think there's really plenty of very mature and responsible people who from time to time will benefit from seeing a psychic in terms of getting kind of a information from a deeper level and information from a wider landscape of their life. It's kind of like almost a chance just to step back, climb a little hill, and look out over the landscape. So, you know, it's I really strove in my practice as a psychic to communicate to people in ways that were empowering to them. I didn't want to be a fortune teller. I made a really very strong commitment about, look, I want this to be Spirit-led. I want this to be what's really for their highest good, not necessarily what they want to hear, not necessarily what I want to say, really what, you know, their soul and their higher guidance wants to bring forth. So I really worked on communicating what I was given in a positive way and an empowering way and not in a frightening way, even if it had to do with pain. You know, sometimes there are painful things that you're talking about, but pain is part of life, you know, and there's ways of talking about it in a way that's strengthening and not scary.
Sure.
You know? So I think there's a whole spectrum of consciousness and awareness, of which common sense, of course, is smack right in the middle, you know, and hopefully we have a lot of that. But, you know, there's a whole spectrum of how intuitive people are. And some people are hardly at all. They're, you know, just really thick as wood, and they don't need to be. You know, it's not their...
Tim and I are looking at each other and nodding about that. Yep.
Thick as a brick, you know, and then there's people that are sort of in tune with stuff, and there's more people that are very sensitive towards their family members or towards their spouse, and then it gets out towards people who are very sensitive, very intuitive, and then it gets out towards people who are psychic, which is a little bit different than being intuitive, and then it gets out further to people who are, you know, shamans and healers of a different order, and there's just, it has to do with a wiring thing, you know, like a genetic wiring thing. I think.
So you're genetic. You believe you're genetically predisposed
to these
abilities.
Yeah, like I'm from a family of eight, and I would say of all of us, my brothers and sisters are very sensitive, mindful people, but they're not psychic. You know,
sure.
I'm the psychic. This is a whole different radio band that I'm listening to that the other people aren't. But I learned over time, you know, as I was a professional psychic, I learned how not to be listening to the radio band all the time, but to really try and confine it during, you know, the sessions that I was doing with people. So, because you can't walk around that.
So open. Do you believe, I know there are some psychics, mediums, sensitives, that believe that we're all born with this ability and that we just need to learn how to
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I disagree with that. I think it's like mathematical talent or cooking talent or emotional intelligence or, you know, people, not everyone is going to grow up and understand, you know, quantum physics, even if they study it.
Right.
Some people are gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, everyone can get a little more into intuitive. Some people can get, you know, quite a bit more intuitive, but if you're not wired for it, it's, you know, it's just not your deal. You know, you don't have to, you know, worry about that.
How many people do you run across that think they're wired for it that aren't even in the stratosphere? And then how many people do you run into who think they don't have a psychic bone in their body, but it turns out that they're a lot more in touch than they thought they were?
Well, I really couldn't quantify, you know, how many numbers, but I would say what you're bringing up right now is what I call the four blocks to intuition.
Okay.
And the four blocks to intuition would include, one, ignorance, just, you know, just not having a clue that it's there. And, you know, spirit is showing you things all the time with yellow highlighter, but you don't see it, you know.
Okay.
You're not seeing what's coming through. Two, fear, where, you know, you're just afraid of it because you've seen too many bad movies about psychic teenagers who are crazy, or, you know, Halloween movies.
Right.
Is you've learned to be afraid of this part of life, which is actually, I think, a very benevolent and kindly part of life. But our culture has demonized it and made it scary. So a lot of people are afraid of it. And then three, there would be doubt, where maybe you really do get a lot of intuition, but you doubt it all the time. You doubt yourself all the time because you were raised to doubt yourself. Maybe not even just about your intuition, but just you were raised in spirit of doubt. You know, so it's hard for you to trust what you're getting.
Right. Now, that one I understand a lot. The doubt is the one that always nags at me, and I question. And, you know, it's funny to me that I'll be somewhere and I'll know it, but then I sit there and I doubt myself so much about it that I talk myself out of it, and sure as hell it was exactly what I thought was going to have happened.
Right. Yeah, well, I think, you know, you don't want to have too many of those experiences because, you know.
I do all the time. You'd think I'd learn after a while to go with the gut.
There's really no need to doubt it. So, you know, like, you can get into a deal with your soul, with your higher self, and say, look, I want to get better with this, you know, and please keep sending the lessons and make them gentle and help me have the confidence to do it. Thank you very much. And then, you know, enter into it in a different way, in a practicing way. And then I was going to say that the last block that people have is what I would call glamour. That's what the people you're talking about who think they're, like, so unique because they're so psychic.
Right.
You know, they're so special. And they're getting their own, you know, private pipeline to God, and, you know, they've got it. And what I used to tell people when I did readings, and I still believe it today, is that the very best psychics in the whole world are only 88 to 85% accurate. Which is fine, you know. I mean, your car mechanic, your lawyer, your doctor, you know, a lot of professionals are 80 to 85% accurate. They're not always batting 100.
Hey, but there's a lot of meteorologists out there on a daily basis that have no clue.
They're worse than that. So
that's right.
A psychic is 80 to 85% accurate. If they're good, then it's really the client's responsibility to sort out what the 15% is that's not quite so right on.
Right.
And not follow it. So.
Well, let's go through the different blockings, because that is something I think is important to a lot of people if they're trying to learn how to get into, I mean, intuition. Now, do you believe intuition is something different than psychic ability?
Well, I think it is a little bit different. I would say it's on the spectrum, you know, from sensitive and intuitive to psychic. There's kind of a little bit of a line you cross where when you're doing psychic work, you're altering your consciousness significantly so that you're very sensitive to different layers and levels of consciousness. So you're sensitive to things in the past and things in the future. You're sensitive to things at a distance. You know, you're sensitive to things from other lifetimes, if you will. So it's a whole different thing than intuition is kind of a enhanced common sense, we could say.
Okay.
It's like an enhanced sense of, like, your five senses. It's your sixth sense, only you're not scary. But,
right.
But you know, the five kinds of intuition that I've identified are, it's very simple. It's seeing, hearing, sensing, knowing, and kinetic, or moving, okay? So seeing is kind of like when you get pictures in your head that are guiding you, that are giving you good ideas, you know, that are giving you a plan. You're a visual, intuitive, if you get pictures. Hearing is you have that little quiet voice that says, hey, why don't you do this, or hey, do this. It's a directive, quiet voice that is leading you into good things. Knowing is that gut feeling that tells you when you're safe and when you're not safe, and tells you how you feel about other people, tells you how you feel about certain places that you are, if you're comfortable or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a empathic sort of kind of intuition. And then the kinetic one is like showing up at the right place at the right time, following your feet, having a lot of synchronicity in how you move through the world. And then the pure knowing is when you just, you don't know why you know. You just know.
Sure.
You just have an overall knowing. Sometimes it's just a very quiet, subtle, overall understanding that you can't quite pin down why you have it. And other times it's a flash, like, oh, boing, you know, something drops in your head, and you're like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the ways. And, you know, most people have one pretty well developed. And the people that are really psychic and who are highly intuitive might have all of them working together.
Cool. Well, we'll delve into that a little bit more deeply. We're going to take our first break of the evening. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Mary Hayes Greco, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
Good evening. Welcome back to the show. Our guest is Mary Hayes Greco. I want to say Greco whenever I look at that, but
yeah,
I don't think you're related
Greco.
To him, are you? Richard Greco.
I before E. Just think about friend.
Oh, that's too much. There you go, thinking again. I already told you we're thick as wood over here. All right, let's get back into the different philosophies of the different things that we were talking about earlier. Now, first of all, I want to start with one thing because I want to get into it before I know I forget to get into it. Forgiveness training. What is forgiveness training and why is it so important?
Well, forgiveness is super important. I mean, do you know anyone, really, do you know literally anyone who doesn't have emotional wounds that they're still trying to get over from their life?
That's right.
You know, big ones from childhood or little ones, you know, in daily life or big ones recently, your divorce, your job loss, your health disaster. I mean, life is difficult for most people, and we have issues, and people want to get over them, but they maybe don't want to go to therapy for 2 years or whatever. But forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves to get free of things that have, you know, made us feel tied up and upset. And there's a way of doing it. There's a step-by-step method that you can use that always works. It's extremely reliable. And I've been teaching, studying it, living it, teaching it for 20 years, and I've never seen it fail. So now I'm teaching it to counseling professionals, so they too can say, oh, wow, we really can help people get over stuff. And it's very exciting.
Now, it's probably a majority of what holds so many people back from having a good life?
Yeah.
Is unable to forgive the past and
yep.
themselves?
Yep.
What's worse, unable to forgive yourself or unable to forgive others? What seems to be the most destructive?
Well, I think people have a harder time forgiving themselves. Seems like it's really a really universal problem. You know, many people are very hard on themselves and feel shame about, you know, perceived failures that they have or perceived weaknesses or character defects that they can't seem to get over. And so that's a biggie. But, you know, people ask me, well, gee, I need to forgive him and I need to forgive myself. Which is the most important? I just say, well, start anywhere. You know, just start. Start somewhere, and it's kind of like when you're trying to untie a bundle of knotted shoelaces. You have to start, you know, and as you get some of the knots untied, the rest of it loosens up and is easier as you go along.
Now, once you start loosening that knot and you're given the forgiveness to yourself and to others, does that start to free up psychic ability and intuition and things like
it
that?
It does. It frees up everything, really. I mean, it starts to kind of freeing up the energy in your life. It starts opening doors that have been stuck shut. It starts making you feel better about yourself. It enhances your creativity. It opens up the hatch, you know. It opens up the channel between you and your soul, your personality and your soul. The model I use is from a holistic psychology model that says we are living on two levels. We are a soul, an eternal soul that's been on a long journey through time, incarnated presently as this person, a personality that has a name and a history and conditioning and stories, okay? And the soul and the personality have to learn how to work together to accomplish this life's purpose. And as you do your forgiveness work, you really open up that connection between your personal self, who has a name, and the present time, you know, issues, and your soul, which is full of vital, you know, wise, healing energy that can help you make things happen, you know. So we do forgiveness for ourselves
Sounds kind of like the relationship between men and women. Both of us have an important thing, but nobody can figure out how to get the two of them to hear each other, huh?
I don't know. They say, in Japan, they say the male and female are two wings of one bird. So, you know, the soul and personality is kind of similar, too.
Definitely.
You know,
so, now, unblocking, you know, like we were saying earlier, doubt that happens to be my biggest one.
Yeah.
And there are times, I mean, even as silly as, you know, when I go to Las Vegas with my dad once a year for Super Bowl, you know, I'm not a big gambler, but I'll play for the couple of days I'm there. And it's amazing to me how many times, and, you know, I'll even do it out loud once in a while with blackjack dealers and something, is I'll call the card before they flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do it consistently. But then when it comes to the bet for myself, I begin to doubt.
Right.
And I'm not trying to use it for evil, but I'm just using that as...
No, but you bring up a point. I would say that the two things that distort your ability to use intuition mm-hmm. are fear and desire. So probably in that case, it's desire. You know, you're like, oh, God, I want to get this, you know.
Right.
I got to get this right. If I get it right, this is a big house, you know.
Exactly.
Wow, I'm going to get it. So desire will make anyone nervous because you're kind of attached to it. You're like, oh, I want to get this. So that's a tricky one, you know. It's hard to be clear intuitively if you're really afraid about something and you just, like, don't want certain things to happen, or if you're really attached to something and you really do want certain things to happen. It's really intuition is a byproduct more than a goal. It's a byproduct of wanting to live your purposeful life, wanting to, you know, be the best and most awesome person you can be, you know, and to be a contributor. And the more that you come to the job of developing your intuition or your psychic abilities from the perspective that you want to be of service, you want to be a good person of use in this world, that really enhances the learning process. If you're doing it, you know, because it's kind of fun and games and wacky and interesting, you know, you'll have a few successes, but it won't keep unfurling and unfolding and developing. Whereas if you have a deeper, more spiritually grounded attitude, it's a byproduct of living, you know, a rich and worthy spiritual life, and it keeps growing deeper and deeper.
Well, when you're talking about, like, getting over the doubt, and you were explaining why doubt might edge more in when you have the passion or the concern,
right?
It becomes more personal,
right?
You know. How about the rest of the blocks? What are the best ways for people to just start to... Well, you mentioned, when you would do your readings, you would empty yourself out. You would just kind of let it all go.
But here's the first step. The first step is to use your will to develop a healthy and accurate intuition. So you would say it. I mean, say it out loud with some conviction. You know, like when you say something that you mean, you say, okay, look, I'm going to save some money and go to Europe by next summer. I'm going to do it. You have that, I'm going to do it.
Okay,
with a little
so
bit of
intent,
muscle.
Right, okay.
You say with your will, look, okay, I want a healthy and accurate intuition that helps me be the best person I can be and helps me to be of use, you know, to others. That's what I would recommend. You say you come in there with your will and some oomph, and then you enter into what I would call a universal classroom. You kind of, you as a person would talk to your soul, which is listening, and say, okay, teach me. I'm paying attention. Teach me. Thank you very much. And you see the kind of little lessons that come along. And you enter into them and you experiment. And, you know, I found that the lessons I was given were, they stretched me, you know, but they didn't overwhelm me. And they, none of them were too, my mistakes were not too awful. They were just kind of like, oh, well, wrong on that.
Okay.
That was wrong. You know, and every time you get it right, every time you listen to your hunch instead of your doubt or your intellect, and you listen to a hunch and you're right, then you say an enthusiastic, thank you, yeah, all okay. right, thank you, okay, bring it on,
sure,
more.
So that actually starts to almost build the muscle, right?
Right, exactly.
Because
it
then you're positive reinforcing yourself
exactly.
with what you're doing, okay.
Exactly, so you say thank you. And you don't talk about this with people who are going to fan your doubt. You only share this classroom that you're in with other people who think this is really a good thing to do and that they're kind of, you know, curious and experimental and, you know, want to support you. You don't tell your most disbelieving friend that you're doing this because you kind of have to incubate your own trust level and be very kind to it for a long time.
Right.
You know, you don't want to throw it into the fire. So
sure.
Okay?
Well, do you find that that's probably one of the major blocks, too, is other people's influence? And telling you that it's ridiculous
yeah.
or silly, and when you open up and let people into that part of your world and they
yeah.
that they discourage it, that's what the main blocks
that's
could
a bit,
be?
Sure, because we're social creatures, and we don't mm-hmm. want to be thought crazy, and we don't, you know, want people to think less of us. So, I mean, you have to kind of share this part of yourself with the people that are respectful of it and the people that are also, you know, learning this stuff, and they can teach you some about it, too. And the ones that are disbelievers, it's not like you're hiding it, but you're containing it. You know, you don't have to tell everyone everything about you. So you keep some privacy
sure.
around stuff that you're trying to make real for yourself and you're trying to get over your doubts about. You don't want to tell other doubters about it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah, because that's the other thing I seem to run into is that, you know, aside from my own doubt, I have so many people around that doubt
right.
what's going on. Even when, you know, I mean, it's so funny. When there's even things that I'm 100% sure of and somebody else starts to cast their own doubt about it, how funny it is that you start to question
yeah.
what you know it to be true.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and when you say with conviction the sky is blue and the person across from you goes, no, it's purple.
It is not, yeah.
And you're like, oh, crap, is
oh,
it kind
dear.
Of purple? Well, maybe it is a little purple.
No, I thought it was blue.
Right. Well, I can see how you think it's purple, sure. Yeah, so, I mean, that seems to really kind
of
get into
it. And that's,
us.
You know, that's more of like a personality issue. I mean, that's more like a low confidence, low self-esteem kind of issue. So if you get too wobbly around that, you might want to do some, you know, just some personal work on developing
enough.
Your
I'm smart
confidence.
Enough. Right.
On what?
I'm good enough. I'm smart
yeah.
enough.
And
darn
and
it, people
like
me.
Right.
Okay. So that's
exactly.
some of the things
be
to
be like Al.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid. Maybe not. That's some of the stuff to avoid doing is surrounding yourself with the negative people, of course. So it's kind of like we've been talking on the show in the past year with The Secret. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
It's the power of intent and the power of attraction, the law of attraction, that what you focus on comes to you, whether it be positive or negative. And if you build that positive muscle, you're going to get better results through time. But then can't that be said that even people who aren't born with that muscle can still help develop it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think everyone can, just like everyone can learn some math and everyone can learn to cook, you know.
Sure.
This is a skill set that and an awareness and kind of making yourself get acquainted with a certain part of life. And so, yeah, everyone can get more so. But I wouldn't say, like some people say, everyone is psychic. You know, that to me there's kind of a, like I said, a spectrum. I could see everyone has their version of intuition. And it is more or less developed.
Okay. Okay.
But being psychic is kind of further along on the spectrum of being wired a certain way and seeing things from different levels.
Let me ask you this, like Tim, my co-host here. Tim, you don't claim to be psychic in any way. You don't feel, do you get those kind of feelings where you're, you know, something and you're dead on with it?
The intuition thing.
A little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, he has a lot of paranormal experiences and dream states where the loved ones will come to him to speak to him there and say goodbye, and he finds out about it before it happens.
Yeah.
Now,
does
that
mean...
That's
a very common thing.
Right. Now, does that mean he's predisposed to this, kind of in a genetic way? Is he a good candidate to develop the psychic ability?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to know more about the, you know, kind of other experiences you've had. But actually, someone did a study. Father Andrew Greeley did a study around this exact thing, and it turns out 68% of average Americans have had that particular experience of a loved one who has passed over coming to visit them afterwards, and you know, palpably, you know, seeing them or hearing them or sensing them in the room. 68%, that's two-thirds of normal people have had this experience. So I would say it's a fairly, that particular experience is a fairly common experience that happens around times of passage, around times of transition, that spirits will, you know, stick around to kind of make some peace or say goodbye or reassure, you know, and then if they don't get stuck there, they don't stay and become ghosts, right? This is a kind of a normal, healthy spirit.
But it's kind of interesting that nobody else in his family that was close to the spirit that's crossed over, nobody else gets those visitations.
They didn't get that. Well, Tim, do you dream pretty vividly, generally?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. So Tim, I would say, is maybe a visual intuitive. You get pictures, too, in your mind's eye? Are you kind of visual?
Oh, yeah, much,
imaginative,
very much so.
In terms of pictures and stuff?
Yep.
So that spirit chose to communicate with you in your dream state because that's how you're wired, you know? Whereas if you're, you know, a clairsentient person, a gut feeling and knowing person, maybe you would have been in the kitchen and you kind of felt like they were in the room, but you didn't see them, you know? Or if you were an audience person, you might actually kind of hear someone, you know, telling you something, and it's that person, you know? So it's different things. But yeah, I mean, maybe Tim is, you know, more sensitive than others or more sensitive than his family members.
See, buddy, I told you were sensitive. All right, so, well, the reason I asked that is because, you know, so many people... And especially being in this field, and no offense, ladies, or you know, I don't run into many men that feel that they're very sensitive psychically, but just about every woman I know seems to believe that they are psychic or sensitive in some way. Now, do you believe that it is a bigger predisposition for women than it is for men, or is that just because women are a little bit more in touch with their feelings and to listening to that gut as opposed to men trying to logically talk their way out of it all the time?
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, yes. One is, I would say probably there are more women that are predisposed to intuition than men, and that might be a biological thing that has to do with babies and relationships, where it's kind of our business to, you know, be in touch with the well-being of a lot of people. And that's nature's imperative to us, is to tend and nurture and befriend and kind of be tuned into people. But I would say that men are, you know, almost as intuitive as women, but culturally impaired because the culture does not support, you know, male intuition.
Right.
The culture does not support that at all. So I would say, you know, women have a slight advantage, maybe biologically, genetically, but not overwhelmingly, but culturally, we have a huge advantage, and that's too bad. Now, my husband is more psychic than me. You know, he's a very, very tuned in, you know, sensitive and psychic type person. And I've met a number of other men who are also. So, you know, I think that that's really, you know, part of your nature too. But just like there's not a lot of women who develop intense, you know, sports ability or athletic abilities or whatever. Culturally, we're discouraged earlier on, you know,
sure,
from that sort of thing.
Well, we got to take our second break of the hour. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Mary Hayes Greco, and we'll be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer Records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Ooh, that hurts.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and our guest tonight is Mary Hayes Greco. I keep wanting to fight that Greco thing. Greco. And if you're interested in getting more help from Mary, you can contact her at the Well Healing Arts Center in Minneapolis. You can contact her through the counseling office at 612-874-6622. Again, 612-874-6622. Or go directly to her website at maryhayesgreco.com. And that's MaryHayesGreco.com. Or, to make it even easier, just go to our website, look at the lovely picture of Mary, and click it, and it'll take you right to her website there. It'll make it a little bit even easier doing it that way.
And I'd like to clarify that I'm not doing psychic readings these days.
Right, right.
I'm really working with people who are doing forgiveness work, who really are, you know, strongly intending to get over some specific issues, you know, that forgiveness would help. And I also do some coaching of people who are sensitives, you know, healer types and psychic types and sensitives who kind of need to get more grounded and healthy and pull that together.
Now, we've known in this business, Tim and I, you know, a lot of people that have psychic or mediumistic ability, and what starts off in a very light positive thing seems to turn kind of ugly after a little bit. What's coming into effect there that you can tell? Do you think that's what you're referring to as the glamour? Do you think that's just the ego getting in the way of it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, really, a lot of spiritual paths have counseled against psychic experimentation because this kind of stuff happens. And it happens if you're doing it for the wrong reason. It happens if you're kind of like, whoa, cool, I talked to a ghost. Let's see if I can talk to three ghosts, you know.
Right.
If you're, like, doing it because it's cool, it's really like you don't go downtown looking for street people to talk to, you know. And
Tim does.
Okay, well, fine. I don't. I'm busy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if you're kind of too open to just random experiences, you'll find, you know, some spirits that are unemployed otherwise that'll like to mess with you. And, you know, this kind of thing is really best accompanied by a strongly purposeful life. that is grounded in common sense and in real service, not not dinking around, you know what I mean?
Right.
And your personality needs to be very clean and clear to be good at this and to sustain it for any length of time. You know, you have to really know what your issues are. You have to heal your own woundedness. You have to work on, you know, is my ego here or not? And
so many people absolutely hate Sylvia Brown because of her bitchy attitude, I guess. There's no nice way to say it. Her looking down at people when she's talking.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with her.
Oh, you know, well, Montel every Wednesday. You can't miss her.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, she's gum-snapping, nail-clicking, condescending psychic medium who needs it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say, if you're familiar with her, I mean, is that what you feel is probably what's
coming? I'm not familiar with
her,
but, you know, I wouldn't go to a psychic that was, you know, bossy or egotistical. I mean, you want to go with people that are mature, that you, when you're in their presence, you feel calmer, you feel saner, you feel clearer, because they are calm and sane and clear. You know,
is it easy
for
ego to interfere? I mean, you did this for 12 years.
Yeah.
When you know that you're getting the right answers and people are blatantly ignoring what you're saying, does it get frustrating? Does ego come in and make it
seem like it? I give the person full responsibility for what they do with the information I give them. It's their life. It's their responsibility. I tell them, look, here's my best shot. You know, this is what I think I'm getting. It's up to you to decide which of this 80% is useful, you know, and put it into use or not, you know. And I don't see them 6 months later and think, wow, you didn't do that, huh? What a loser you are. It's not my business, you know. It's not my business to do that. So it kind of really depends on what your purposes are. If your purposes are to become a famous television psychic at all costs, then there's a certain kind of personality that succeeds in television. You know, they're mostly people in television are more aggressive, you know. So that's why she ended up there, perhaps. I don't know, because I don't know her, so I shouldn't even say, really. But, you know, the people that I know, and I know a number of psychics that have been in a very healthy service for, you know, two decades, these are wise people. These are people who are humble and wise and are not doing it for the bells and whistles and lights. They're doing it because they want to help people suffer less. They're doing it because they want to help people fulfill themselves.
Do you think that there should be, I mean, with what you do, do you ever warn people? I would guess, being psychic or medium, that could after a while start to drive you a little crazy if you're not keeping yourself in check.
Well, you have to learn how to have good psychic hygiene. You know, you have to learn how to contain your gift. So you're not walking around with all the radio station on all the time, listening to everything that's around and bumping into every last ghost in every last house and whatever. I mean, it's not a healthy way to be. I used to be sensitive to the point of, you know, of pain about that, but I learned how to turn it off. How to turn it off, turn it on, you know. So
now, is that something that you can help people with as well if they're starting to get this?
Yeah, I mean, I could do some private tutoring, you know, with people. I really don't want to work anymore. Personally, I used to do ghost busting and stuff, and I don't really want to work that much with, you know, a lot of spirit phenomenon. I'm not, I don't know, it's just kind of...
Well, no, I'm not even saying that, but I mean, for people that are trying to... You see, I that would be my fears. I've watched people
to pull themselves together so that they aren't too sensitive in the wrong places, and are able to focus that sensitivity maybe as in service.
I mean, because there's so many people that theorize that a lot of homeless people and people you see out there talking to themselves are gifted people that they just don't know how to turn the filter off.
Well, I would say that there are people who there a lot of them are mentally ill, but they may be mentally ill because they were psychic people that got really trashed in their environments, you know, that got really misunderstood and banged up and overwhelmed and failed, you know, in all the systems they were in because they weren't understood. Or they have, you know, another, you know, mental illness component going on, too. So I don't know. I wouldn't say that every person walking down the street talking to anyone, but
right.
Yeah.
Tim, you had a quick question?
Mary, I'm just curious, as we sit here and we over and over again, you're very adamant about saying that you don't want to get involved in the psychic thing anymore, and you used to be involved with ghost hunting. I just want to know, what made you stop?
Well, you know, it's kind of consuming, you know. It's just kind of a little energy consuming. You know, it's like if you worked, you've had jobs that took more energy than they gave you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, where you're just like, you know.
Well, so what it comes down to, Mary, is there's just not as much money for all the effort and work that you're there's putting into
of,
that.
Yeah, there's a lot of effort, and in terms of preparing myself, not that might not be true of everyone, but for me, I had to, you know, it would take a lot out of me to do a ghost, you know, to clear a house of ghosts. I could do it, and it was kind of interesting, but after I did it 5 or 6 times, I thought, well, that was kind of interesting, but God, you know, it took me 4 days to recover. Do I want to do that?
Right.
I don't think so. Do you know what I mean?
The payoff just wasn't there for it.
It's not that I have any objection to it. I guess the biggest thing you're hearing from me, Tim, is that my value is that I really want to see people on a spiritual path in which intuition and psychic gifts and healing and all that stuff fits as a tool for enlightenment, if you will. A tool for illumination and really becoming fully who you are in the best way. And I don't like to see people really focusing on it as an end in itself.
Okay.
That's what you're hearing coming out of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
just because there are too many wrong turns people can take, and it does get kind of weird, you know, and wacky and, you know, bizarre. And you know, you had a little bit of that for a while. And, you know, I shouldn't, you know, put it down because I know that, you know, it's interesting too, you know, and a lot of people are wanting to know about this stuff, but I don't know. I just had one weird experience too many that I don't need them. I just really want to help people grow in the ways that they need to grow, you know, day to day to be happier.
Cheryl is asking a question on our boards right now, and Cheryl has been a friend of ours in the show for a while, and she's got a strange connection to me, not in a bad way, but it's always been one of those, man, if I'm just having a crap day, she posts something up on my board or emails me something that nails exactly what's
gotten me. She's one of your soul buddies.
All right.
One of your soul friends.
Now, one of the things she says on here, she said, I would love to learn how to turn it off and on. I'm not the type of to charge people or have an ego about it, but you know me, Dave, especially with you and how I was so drawn to get messages across to you in particular. Now it comes and goes. How do I keep myself in tune all the time or when I need it?
Well, it's kind of a, let's see. Well, you know, I mean, you could say, in a way, just basic common sense self-care is helpful. I mean, like, you need to be eating healthy foods. You need to be getting enough sleep. You need to be exercising. You need to be feeding your mind the kind of food it really wants, hanging out with people who are positive and inspiring and not people who are drains. To have some kind of spiritual practice, you know, some kind of a way that you connect to your soul on a regular basis. And people do this in different ways. So, you know, I would say that really discovering what's your best way of living, you know, spiritually, what's your best spiritual practice? Is it meditation? Is it prayer? Is it walking mindfully? Is it, doing energy visualizations or, you know, there's different things that people do to stay connected. So it's just, it's kind of a, you want to have the personality tuned up like a nice violin,
right?
That's in tune. You know, you want to have it not too relaxed, not too tense, you know, just the right
sure.
amount of attention.
Just enough
know.
Balance in between the
yeah.
two.
Yeah. So
I have
you
one...
take care of the personality, and then you sure. also you do healing in your personality around any childhood woundedness that caused you to be excessively, you know, I would say porous, you know, where you're taking too much stuff in all the time. If you grew up in a family that didn't support you having your own space, your own ego strength, and you kind of let everything was done to you, you know, or
right.
you weren't protected, you could have a weak auric field. You could have a weak boundary in which just too much stuff gets in all the time, and you don't need to do that. But as you do healing of that issue, your boundary gets stronger, your aura gets stronger, and then it filters out stuff you don't need.
Sure.
So it's really a conversation with your soul, you know, like, hey, please help me stay connected to you, and please give me the good stuff and keep out the stuff I don't need, and, you know, really staying in dialogue with your inner self.
Well, Mary, I thank you very much. Our time went really fast tonight. I've got about 30 seconds left. Is there anything you want to throw to people so as we're going out of here they know parting words from you here?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of spooky stuff around this topic, but I encourage people to sign up to and believe in what I call the benevolent universe, capital T, capital B, capital U, the benevolent universe, the kindly universe that really means the best for all of its creatures. And, you know, just kind of walk with that sensibility as you're developing your other sensibilities.
Great. Well, thank you. And again, for people that that aren't looking for a psychic reading but are looking for help in forgiveness and for development, please feel free to look up Mary, and you can check out her website at maryhayesgrieco.com or give her a call at the counseling office at 612-874-6622. Thank Mary for joining us this evening, and we thank you all for tuning in for the first hour. Stay with us as we come back for hour two with our guest Pete Haviland from Lone Star Spirits. He's a lead investigator and president. He's going to talk to us about Haunted Texas. We'll be back with more right after this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.